Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the NewsHour. Grateful that you have clicked through again today. We're going to be hyper-local with this, so those of you listening all around the world, you might want to just pay attention, however, because this is about the symposium that happens on a regular basis. It is with the Des Moines Human and Civil Rights Commission, and my guest is Ryan Arnold. He's the Director of Community Engagement with Drake University, and also Joshua Barr, who is the Director for the Des Moines Human and Civil Rights Commission. Joshua, good to see you again, my friend. How you been?
Good to see you. Good to see you. Glad to be back. Always to have a chance to sit and talk with you, Mike.
You know, you and I had lunch together during one of our series, the Out to Lunch series.
Right.
That was interesting.
I really loved it.
Yeah, and I have followed your career since you came to Des Moines. Are you making a difference?
I think some people would say that we are. I would personally say I'm a hypercritical person, so I'm saying I'm not doing enough. But again, I still have to sleep. I'm married, so
you got those.
So I'm not Superman. I think one of the key things that I'm recognizing more and more is that no one person is going to fix the world's issues. It's going to collectively take everyone doing it. And I'm grateful to have a team that's dedicated to the work. But we're a small team, so we need the community involved as well. And that's one reason why we do the symposium and other events, to try to build that coalition to address the concerns here in the community so that we can all have the opportunity to be whatever we desire to be and move up the socioeconomic
ladder.
Let's
talk a little bit about that, if we can, before we get into the entire program that's coming up later on in March. Tell us, in a nutshell, what it is that your organization does.
So ultimately, we're the Civil and Human Rights Department for the City of Des Moines, and our goal is to advance opportunity and justice for all persons. So I'm going to focus on opportunity and justice. Opportunity is making sure that we are educating people on the history of our country. And when we talk about the history, we don't just mean liberty and justice for all, but we mean the injustices that have taken place and how we address that and make it right. We want this country in this community to live by the social contract that was created when the Declaration of Independence was written, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's the social contract that was created, and we want that to be applied to all persons, not just men and not just white men with property, but all persons here in the United States. So our job is to investigate cases of so-called or alleged discrimination. And we also educate the community on issues happening in the community, empower them to address the concerns and bring those before city council. And if we do find instances of discrimination, we litigate those matters and try to conciliate those matters so persons can be so we can rectify wrongs and create more opportunity, not just for that person, but for their future generations, because discrimination is something that has long-term effects. We look at the discrimination against certain groups, such as indigenous persons and communities of African descent. Those things have long-term, long-lasting effects that still affect and plague communities like those to this very day.
Yeah, and so that's the opportunity side.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect I spent several years with the Webster County Human and Civil Rights Commission and chaired that for quite a while. And we heard cases that usually had to do with employment,
mm-hmm.
housing.
Mm-hmm.
Those were basically it. Are there others that you're hearing and that you deal with here in Des Moines?
I think employment and housing are the primary areas, simply because everybody needs to work and everyone needs a roof over their head. But at the same time, we live in a social world where we have to interact with one another. So we also deal with public accommodations and making sure that government entities are serving everyone fairly, but also private entities that serve the public are treating everyone and serving everyone the same. So we deal with a number of public accommodations cases. We just recently had a cause case. I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to share who it was against yet. However, that case, it was a Fortune 100 company that had been discriminating against persons of African descent, denying them the ability to hold merchandise.
And what?
Yes, literally saying that when you walked in the door, if a European American walked in and wanted to hold the merchandise, sure, here, hold it. And then if a person of African descent walks in and wants to hold the merchandise, oh, you have to purchase that first. And,
what?
And yeah, so we just recently did a case where that was discovered. And this is a national, multinational corporation, and we had to get them to change their policies. That's something we're still working on right now at this moment.
And outside of litigation, one of the things, if I remember this correctly, that you press for outside of litigation is policy changes to rectify the situation.
Right, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, you have to change policies and practices. Martin Luther King had a great quote. He said, the law can't make a man love me, but it can prevent him from lynching me. And that's very important. So once we change laws and policies and practices, then you change hearts. And then we live in a republic, which is a rule of law. And we are a country of laws. And so when you change laws to impact all persons, ultimately that changes hearts. And that's the focus of our office, is changing policies, is changing practices, is changing laws, ultimately to benefit every person and ultimately to change hearts. But we believe it's not the heart first in a republic, but it's first the law, and the country sets the tone, and that ultimately changes hearts.
And one of the things, you mentioned a word just a moment ago, and I was stunned when I saw this. The United States Congress just outlawed lynching.
Yeah, just now. Like, literally.
What? I mean, come on. What? All right, so that's the opportunity side. Talk about the justice side.
Well, the justice part is that. I mean, okay. That's the litigation. The opportunity is the education. That's the community engagement. But the justice part is that litigation, that legal piece. When persons aren't following the law, then we come in and we litigate matters. For example, we had a sexual harassment case, and a person was being sexually harassed on the job, and they didn't want to settle it. So we went to court, and we were found in our favor. This lady was fortunate enough to record the instances of the interaction, and we found in her favor that she was sexually harassed, and this person was treating her differently. So that was sex discrimination.
Wow. It's stunning. Stunning that we still are affected by all of these things, and yet we have laws on the books that are supposed to be protecting people.
Right. And I think one of the reasons why it still affects us is because we're so afraid to talk about it. I think that's a huge part, is we want to just throw a blanket over it and hope it goes away. But we have to have these conversations every day, those rough and tough conversations that really have to move us and shake us. And if we're afraid to have those conversations, these situations will continue to come up. We can't just say, oh, it'll go away with time, because persons don't just go away. I mean, they have to live in our society. So we have to interact with every person here in our community and try to uncover and pull up situations so that we can actually rectify wrongs and actually address issues that affect all persons here in our community.
That is the voice, ladies and gentlemen, of Joshua Barr, the chair of the executive director of the Des Moines Civil and Human Rights Commission. All right. One final question before we get into the event that's coming up in March. Do you communicate often with your contemporaries in other cities across Iowa, like Waterloo and Davenport and other places?
Yes, we have a League of Iowa Human Rights Agencies, and so we do probably talk about on a quarterly basis, but other groups, when there's an issue, we do reach out and talk, and we do have some light concerns here in the community, especially when the state legislator wants to pass something that can ultimately influence all of us or affect all of us.
Yeah. you can sometimes legislate the right things.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes. That's Joshua Barr. I'm going to turn this over to our friend, our new friend, as a matter of fact, Ryan Arnold. He's the Director of Community Engagement at Drake University. And Ryan, nice to have you here. And thanks for sitting down with us and being willing to talk about strategizing for the harvest.
Thank you, Michael. It's our pleasure.
And it's going to be at Drake.
That's true. On March 18th, Drake University at the Olmsted Center.
Who's coming to this thing?
You know, we expect over 700 people to come. These are all our neighbors, community leaders, mostly from around Central Iowa, but that's not exclusive to Central Iowa.
Why is this important to Drake?
Drake University, our inspiration statement says that together we transform lives and strengthen communities. That phrase, together. Of course, we mean that across campus, through all of our different colleges, throughout the university. But we also mean that together with our neighbors, and most locally within the city of Des Moines. And so it's our honor to host the Des Moines Civil and Human Rights Symposium at Drake so that we can do this work again together.
A good friend of mine is Jared Bernstein, and I see him all the time, it seems like. And just a general question about Drake. Throughout the presidential campaigns and all of the Drake University has been center point for so many events out there. Is that part of this whole mission to reach out and embrace more than just education, or is it part of education?
You know, our enterprise is education, no doubt. But we understand that one of the unique things that makes us Drake University is the fact that we are within the heart of Des Moines. And Des Moines is within the heart of Iowa. And so if there is an issue or a challenge or an opportunity that's facing our community, we want to be a part of it. We want to host those conversations. We want to make sure that our neighbors know that we care, that we love the place we live in, and that we have something to contribute. Mm.
Drake University, ladies and gentlemen, we will have links, of course, to Drake up on the radio blog. Joshua, tell us about this symposium. This is happening yet again. I've been fortunate enough to come to several of these over the years. And I just saw our friend Dr. Eddie Moore, who keynoted an event. I think it was at Drake University. No, not, I'm sorry, Des Moines University.
Des Moines University,
several
yes.
years ago. Tell us about this event and why folks should come.
All right, so this is the 34th year of the symposium, and we really have been focusing on themes. So last year was Move Passion to Progress, where we're talking about how do you, if you have a passion towards a certain issue, whether it's social, judicial, economic progress, whatever, how do you take that passion and move it towards progress? So this year, we always ask for feedback at the end, and people wanted more of a toolkit on how to achieve their goal. And so we wanted persons on how to strategize for the harvest. So the harvest is the prize you seek, and the prize of social economic advancement is what we're focused on. So this year we're focused on four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, because I'm a farm boy at heart. I spent all my summers on tobacco farms with my grandfather. And in the wintertime, you're planning, you're strategizing. Where do I want to get to in the fall? What is my goal?
Right.
And then in the springtime, that's the time to execute. That's the time of awakening, time to put your plan into action. In the summertime, things start to prop up, but at the same time, you have to tend to those crops. You also have to pick out the weeds and those issues that can ultimately affect your ultimate harvest and your goal. And then the fall is harvest time. It's time to, you put in all this work, now it's time to reap the harvest, but the work is not over yet. You also have to preserve, and then you begin to strategize for next year as well.
This is not just a one-off.
No, this is not a one-off, and you have to really be willing to put in the work. So we really want to talk about the harvest. As you are well aware, Mike, we did a number of community engagement dialogues over the past year and a half.
Yes.
And during those community engagement, four issues really came up. People wanted stable housing for stronger communities. They wanted economic inclusion and prosperity. They also wanted a reflective workforce and leadership, and they wanted culturally responsive and anti-racist communities. So those are the four tracks that we're going to focus on. And we'll start, you can pick whichever track you want. You can jump around, but we'll start in the winter. We'll move to the spring, we'll move to the summer, eventually we'll move to the fall and harvest. So those are the four areas we're focused on, and that really came from the community. These are the tracks picked by the community. And we didn't want to lose the work of bridging the gap. Mm. We wanted to make sure that we kept that theme going. And this year we incorporated the bridging the gap conversations into the actual symposium.
And all of this was really brought about by strategic planning over a long period
yes,
of time.
Yes.
And I think that's important. I mean, this, again, isn't simply a one-off. This is what the community is sharing with you.
Right. And we wanted to make sure we kept that in mind. And this is strategic planning with the community, what the community wanted to focus on. And we didn't want to forget that. We wanted to make sure we kept those themes coming throughout the year and making that ongoing conversation. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to be able to put a roof over their head. Everyone wants to have the economic opportunity for themselves and for their children. They also want to work in an environment that's reflective of them and people that look like them, as well as making sure that it's a community that is caring and is going to treat everyone fairly.
And talk to us a little bit about your keynote speaker, Derek Hamilton.
So our keynote speaker is Derek Hamilton. He is the executive director of the Kirwin Institute on Race and Ethnicity. So he is coming from Ohio State University. He's coming here. He's a nationally renowned speaker. He's done a number of TED Talks. He's a really educated person, especially on the economics of race. So he is coming to speak with us on what we can do, the impact of discrimination, and what we can do and our role is on trying to improve our conditions to seek that harvest of social economic advancement.
Now, Joshua, you just said something that really goes whoop with me, because this is a business newscast. You know, this is, we talk about the business of business.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the economics of race.
Mm-hmm.
What are, I mean, look, I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but there have been multiple studies done in Iowa and in Des Moines, Iowa,
mm-hmm.
that says that this is really a tale of two cities.
Yes.
That there is economic injustice going on when we take a look at employment and wages and housing and all of these
right.
things that we're talking about. And what will Derek Hamilton bring to that conversation?
I think you'll help us streamline it and give us a little more focus. I think some of the things you talked about with the Tale of Two Cities, a lot of that came from the Director's Council and their One Economy report,
right.
looking at the economic health of persons in the African diaspora here in Polk County. And there's a lot of issues that are happening and that are affecting persons regarding health, regarding education, regarding finances, regarding housing. These are issues that ultimately affect us, because if we're being honest, we live in a market-based society.
True.
And so we have to make sure that everyone has the ability, because, again, violence and crime doesn't happen in a vacuum. Those things happen for a reason. And when you have situations of upheaval, situations of economic unfairness, and where persons are being pushed out of markets and denied access to markets, that ultimately affects the entire community. That affects property values, that affects employment rates, et cetera, which ultimately affects the market. So we're all interconnected. We're all a part of this market, this human market of trying to put forth work to bring forth value, the GDP of our country.
And I need to underline this. This isn't simply about one race or one gender or one. This is all about the equality of human beings.
Right.
And that's got to be underscored, I think, because so many people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's just for those people. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. I think that's the conversation we need to have, is how are we all affected and how do we all play a role in addressing these injustices? Because it's not just those people, because at the end of the day, when I'm driving down the street, I'm seeing a lot more people standing on corners holding signs. Mm. And those people don't look like me. I'm African descent. I mean, those people don't look like me. They're European Americans here in Des Moines that need our help and need our assistance. And again, we have to have that empathy, because one day that could be us. I mean, everyone, I'm fortunate enough that I haven't had any bad brick that I can't recover from. But there are some good people out there who've actually just had some tough some hard times, and how do we make sure that we're being empathetic to their plight, making sure there's a net to catch those persons, so when we have our hard time, or as we get older, especially as persons, and research shows the older you get, the more likely you are to have a disability, and the more likely you are to need some sort of accommodation to address those disabilities. So are we being empathetic to the plight of all? Because one day those concerns and those troubles could be knocking at our door.
Joshua Barr, ladies and gentlemen, he is the director of the Des Moines Civil and Human Rights Commission. One of the things that you were just talking about, we had a news story just yesterday. Individuals who are getting tested for the coronavirus, you know, this is a serious thing. And they're now getting bills for $2,600, $2,900 from whatever medical provider there is. And many of these individuals don't have the wherewithal because they may be healthcare workers. They may be, you know, they may be working in a nursing home, all kinds of things. And then they get a bill for this and they're going, wait, I'm doing what my government told me to go do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and here we go. Ryan, I want to come back to you for just a moment. You have at Drake University an extremely diverse student body. I mean, there's folks from all over there.
Yes.
What? How? And I want to get topical for just a moment. Just on Tuesday, the central bank, the Feds, reduced key interest rates by half a point, which is supposed to stem the run on Wall Street. With regard to coronavirus and your students, what conversations are you having at Drake?
Our senior administration is very much aware of the coronavirus and the potential threat that it proves for the whole of our community, not just our campus. And this is one of those times where we're really grateful to have the provost that we have
yes.
at Drake, Sue Madison, whose background is in epidemiology. And so whenever we coordinate these efforts, they come through the provost office, and we work with the Polk County Health Department, Iowa Health Department, and as well as the CDC. And because we have international students and we also
Correct.
Send students internationally, working with the State Department to make sure that we are well aware of everything we need to do to protect our community, both our students and then the broader Central Iowa.
Yeah, and one of the, you know, just to underscore this whole topic, it is not something that people should be afraid of. It is something that people should be aware of. And it's remarkable how states and cities have come to the fore. And while sometimes our federal government's going, we're just not sure just yet. So it's very interesting stuff. And it does trickle down all the way to our learning institutions. And that's so important. Once again, this is about strategizing for the harvest. It is an event that happens on March 18th at Drake University at the Olmsted Center. It is an all-day event. It starts at 7:30 in the morning and ends at 5 o'clock in the evening. And the cost, Joshua, is just $20, and you're feeding folks, too.
That's right. Again, this is a community event, and we believe that all persons need to be at the table to get the toolkit they need to create the community they desire. So we try to keep it as affordable as possible. So $20, yeah. This is you're getting much more for your money than the $20 that you're being asked. And the $20 just kind of helps us deal with some administrative costs. We're very fortunate enough to partner with Drake, who are allowing us to utilize their facilities at no cost on the day of the symposium. They're charging us $300 for the day before. I know I'm gonna be the kickoff event. But we're very fortunate to be partnering with them. We really appreciate them being willing to work with us, being the community partner we need in order to address the concerns necessary to move our community forward.
Yeah, and we did fail to talk about the kickoff event featuring Vanessa Roberts. And this is a humorous look at racial issues?
Yeah. Well, it's the thing is, you got to be willing to laugh about have a sense of humor. I think even with the coronavirus, you watch SNL, they did a joke on it. I mean, we have to be able to sometimes laugh through our pain. And race is one of those painful things that we've been dealing with for a long time. But she's really going to dive into she's a one person play a workshop on race about her being a person of African-American descent living in Germany. And she lived in Germany at one time, and she's going to do a one-person play. And after that, they're going to have some discussions and dialogue on issues of race and racism here in our world and in our country.
You know, it's an amazing thing. We have clients for our advertising agency, as well as others who we know that are in Europe. And it's an interesting dichotomy between mm-hmm. what goes on in the United States with regard to race and what happens in places like Germany.
Very true.
Yeah, this is really going to be an interesting and good time. That is Tuesday, March 17th at 6 o'clock in the evening. Vanessa Roberts, Aeropuff Lederhosen, A Critical Comical Investigation of Race. Right. That's the title.
And that's 100% free, so please get your tickets, but there is limited seating, so please get your tickets now.
And we will have links to all of this up on our radio blog. Joshua, thank you so much for sitting down and doing this. I certainly appreciate it. And Ryan, nice to meet you. I understand your bride and I had an interaction some time ago.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having us on. She speaks very highly of you.
Well, good people over at Anawim, and they're doing wonderful work. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Joshua Barr, the director of the Des Moines Civil and Human Rights Commission, as well as our newest friend, Ryan Arnold. And he's from Drake University. The event is on March 18th. You got to register, though, by March 6th. And we do have links on our radio blog for you to do just that. Well, that wraps up another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing is Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for the Business News Hour by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, and for Ryan Arnold and Joshua Barr, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.